You tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Day. Now, I think of Christmas as being a bit of a December thing, really. And not only that, I think it's been at the end of December. So when I see Christmas cards, I don't know, mince pies, I don't know, all that paraphernalia going on sale sometime in August, I try to get around it, avoid it really. But I don't know, I thought I'd make an exception this time round. Yeah, there's a special event coming up at Stratford Circus, yeah, in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know, I wanted to find out more about it. So here to tell us about it, we're joined now live in the studio by Kyo Brown, award-winning guitarist and musical director at Stratford Circus. Kyo, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you and also the event next week.
Okay, come on then. Christmas, come on. What's the connection here? Come on. Anyway, we're talking Christmas and it's only November. Well, I mean, what's this all about?
It's a really good time of the year to have it, actually. Coming towards the end of the year when people are thinking about taking a break. They've been working hard all year round, etc. And to tie Motown into the end of the year, I think it's just a...
Just to be clear what is happening down there. There's a Motown...
Right, it's a Motown show. So right. We're covering a whole range of, you know, classic Motown songs. And basically, we aim to interpret them as closely to the original as possible. It's
right,
a fantastic era of music. So, yeah, it's a really wide palette of Motown songs.
And there's also a lot of them. You're going to be doing just Christmas songs. There are a lot of this. And it's actually an old album called Motown Christmas songs. Are we going to be doing them?
Yeah, we'll probably be doing one or two. We're probably coming towards the end of the show or something. But it's really looking at all the like seminal, or as many as possible, because there's too many to play in one night.
Yeah.
But all the, I think some of the most popular songs that we will be playing, yeah.
Let's go back. I mean, to some people maybe less familiar with exactly what Motown music is. What is Motown music? Where did it come from? Where did it start from? What sort of artists are we talking about and things like that?
Right. Well, it was established by Berry Gordy in 1959, and that was following a chance meeting with Smokey Robinson, who became an extremely important figure in the whole setup of Motown. And
this was all in America, wasn't it?
This was all in America, in Detroit, in Motor City, as it were.
Right, that's where Motown comes from, Motortown.
Yep, that's
okay,
right, absolutely. Yep. And the way that it started, it was, I mean, Berry Gordy was a visionary, you know. He tried a range of things before then. He was running a stall, he worked in the car industry, he was a boxer as well. And he was always looking for ways of actually, you know, just obviously like everyone else, trying to make a living. But he was very, very forward thinking, and to come up with an idea where it was essentially, he was an entrepreneur. And the idea of having this in-house entity where people felt that they could claim ownership of it. So all the musicians, they were boxing records, they were putting them in sleeves, all that sort of stuff. And they saw it as an opportunity to realise their dreams. So you got a collection of amazing people together.
It was a bit of a music factory, wasn't it, really? It turned out some amazing things, didn't it? Yeah.
It's very much so. And of course, people know it's well documented. You know, several hits came out of that factory, if you like. And the idea was, look, let's get together and build our own industry. And that's essentially what happened. And of course, you know, it's not, never, any business is never without its hardships and its problems and in-house things going on. But it's it produced an amazing entity, and we are talking about it, you know, 40, 50 years later.
Yeah. And of course, this at the time, we have to go back in history, of course, because Motown, the people involved in it, almost all black, I think, weren't they? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
And this was
yeah. It was very much so, and so it came out of that community. And
at a time, I mean, we have to go back. I mean, history's moved on, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But going back, when the idea of black entrepreneurs in America, now this was like, wait a minute, I'm not just frowned on. I mean, it wasn't even people to frown on. It didn't happen. Really,
no,
did it?
Absolutely. And people felt that that they didn't have the same sort of equality of opportunity, and he very much reacted against that by being very determined and just really making up his mind that I'm going to start something which is black owned, and something that is a viable business, and something that will take the world on. And he certainly achieved that. And I think the whole notion of actually ownership was really important. There were people like Sam Cooke as one of, you know, the first people who actually had his own publishing company, because he was tired of being ripped off by rich conglomerates, just who paid the artist just peanuts, you know.
But interesting as well, I mean, black music essentially, but also it had much wider appeal. I mean, there's always been sort of black musicians and singers and things before that, but this one very much had an appeal right way across black and white audiences, brought people together.
I think it did. I mean, that was, from what I understand from my reading and my research, that was purposeful. He wanted to cross over so that he could reach as many people as possible. Well, one is, well, you know, why wouldn't you do that? But secondly, of course, you know, the wider the appeal is, the more profitable it would be. And it makes sense. It's a business model.
You know, why sort of say black music, white music, whatever? Hang on, let's all come together.
Absolutely.
And do it.
And he did achieve that. Of course, the artists were largely, they were all black. And, you know, those are the social circumstances out of which the music arose. But he appealed to many and still does to this very day.
Yeah. I mean, and just thinking, there's so much music about there. I mean, what happened to it in the end? It kind of fizzled out, or what happened?
Yeah, I think as happens with a lot of businesses, is there comes a point where ideas change, the music changes, and, you know, people's aspirations changes, and then they sell it on, and that's what happened. I mean, it went on until some point early to mid-90s. Yeah? But it's interesting that when people think of Motown, they automatically think of the 60s. And, of course, Motown went through all the way to 70s, 80s, and 90s.
But you always think
of the 60s. And there's a reason for that, because people remember the vibrancy of the music, and the fact that it was fresh, it was new, and it was a great interpretation of gospel music and blues, etc. Just an amazing art form. And the musicians behind it, I have to say here, the Funk Brothers, they were the absolute backbone, you know. And I've heard one of the musicians recently say that even if you took the main vocalists out, right, you'd still, what you'd have, you'd basically put any vocalist on it, because the music was so strong. And I think the Funk Brothers, who were you know, the band who played that music, are unsung heroes.
Okay, yeah, I've never heard of them, I must be honest. Never heard of them before. Okay, and all right, I think that's, well, thinking about what you're doing down at Stratford Circus.
Yeah.
Come on, tell us more about that. I mean, you're going to be doing, you know, like some what sort of songs you'll be doing? Come on, give us a taste, there are things like
My Guy,
Tent,
for example.
Oh, yeah.
My Guy, I Wish. Yeah, so we're going to be flitting largely between the 60s, 70s, and some 80s.
Oh, right, you're doing some of the late stuff as well.
Absolutely,
okay,
But also things like Stop in the Name of Love. Which has got a really great, in fact, when you hear that, and the way the drums are played, you can hear that direct gospel feel. It's amazing when you actually break it down. There are things like Endless Love, What's Going On, of course, which interestingly...
Yes, of course. Now, you see, that's one of the most unusual,
yes,
if you like, of ones.
Yes.
People don't know that.
That's,
it's one,
right,
of my favourite albums as well, because it's
absolutely
just so powerful,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Very, well,
powerful. Come tell us a bit the story of that album.
There was a point where, when Berry Gordy was first presented with that song by Marvin Gaye, he rejected it. He rejected it for quite a while.
You can't dance to it.
Well, you can't dance to it in the same way as others, but it's the kind of music that makes you sit down and listen. Because he was talking about the social times. Now, at that time, Berry wasn't really that interested in that. He actually wanted what some people called more happy-go-lucky, sing-along, bubblegum sort of thing, because it keeps everyone in a good mood, and you don't have to think too much about what's happening in the environment, yeah? But he slowly sort of got it, and he decided, look, I'll just take a chance on this. Then look at what happened when it was released.
Yes, it was a phenomenal album.
Marvin felt very, very strongly about it. And Marvin, of course, was one of the seminal figures going back to the early 60s.
Yeah, and what was it? Just remind us of what it was about again, the album. It was about...
What's Going On was about looking at the social circumstances.
Yeah.
The social circumstances, poverty, the economics, etc. And you're just appealing to the masses.
And there was also, in the background, there were some riots and things like that going on as well.
Social unrest, etc.
So it was quite a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just think as well, how are you doing this? Because is it a band? Come on, how do you present this?
Yeah, we've got a bass player, we've got drummer, we've got two keyboard players.
Right, okay.
And there's myself on guitar and MD, and then we have three vocalists. Now we have the great Linda Lewis.
She's from East London, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
Linda Lewis is working with us. We've got Verna Francis and Gwyn J. Allen. They're all amazing musicians and vocalists. The bassist we've got, his name's Nixon Rosenberts. Rod Young's on drums, Lex Cameron keyboard, and Ricardo Reed on keyboard as well, and myself on guitar. Great musicians, and we've all come up through Motown, so we understand Motown. We've had it in as far back as I can remember. Motown was always in my home, so it's part of the fabric of our household, really.
I mean, who do you think is going to be the audience here? I mean, is it older people sort of reliving their misspent youth?
Very good
or
question.
Is it these sort of young people who've never heard this music before?
Very good question. Yeah. I was shocked. The first one we did was, I think, February of this year. And when I looked out into the audience, I couldn't believe how many younger people I saw. Now, there was a lot of people, I'd say, sort of in their 50s upwards, right, which I would expect.
Yep,
but
yep.
I saw a lot of 20-odd-year-olds.
Okay.
And when I spoke to them afterwards, I said, how do you know about this music?
My grandfather used to play it.
And it was that, grandparents play it. It's something that's just still so relevant. It's so relevant in their own household. And it's amazing how music can transcend age that way. And I think it's beautiful, I've got this theory, actually. I'll just say quickly, a law was passed that we could never make any more new music, we'd be so happy, because Motown alone would keep us going for the rest of our lives.
We could just dance away to that, couldn't we? Into our retirement, and that's it. You could make a film about that. That's
absolutely.
Of course, this is all happening down at Stratford Circus, and Indeed. You're doing it. The thing that people have never been to Stratford Circus, I mean, it's quite a small space you're going to be using.
It's
there,
a
isn't
lovely
it?
Space. Yeah. It's a really nice
sort
place.
So intimate, it's, sort
it's,
of, yeah.
Very intimate. It's, I think that the seats cascade downwards. It's,
there's different ways you can do it. It's a flexible space, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a theatre type environment, and I say to people, please do get down there, because it is a brilliant show. We actually played at the Canary Wharf Jazz Festival a couple of months back, and it was an outrageous response. We actually saw people crying.
Okay.
With happiness, sheer joy and happiness. And when a music can do that to people, it's just wonderful. It's just like a medicine, really. And Motown is filled with history, filled with information, the seminal figures, not just the lead vocalists, but the likes of Berry Gordy and the role that Smokey Robinson played, and the Funk Brothers. Absolutely amazing history.
And of course, Jimmy Ruffin as well, who died, didn't he? Died today, was he? Or yesterday, was it? Yeah, last couple of days,
Sad thing,
So you're going to be doing any tribute to him as well, do you think?
We're still actually looking at the program. There's so many people to get through. That's the thing.
One
of the things is that we have to maybe try and concentrate on the songs that people really, really, really know. And even then, you just can't. You always
There's
get the
so
question,
many of
why
them.
Didn't you play Bob? why didn't you play that for
damned
longer?
Damned if you do and damned if you don't. That's what happened, We're going to be playing a bit of Jimmy Ruffin a bit later on, just after
absolutely.
The break anyway, because, obviously, what becomes of the broken heart, it's
amazing.
a classic, isn't it? I tell you what, we've got to go to the break now, but I don't know, one reason, Motown music, what's that one element that makes it special? What's the one thing that makes it special?
Wow, what a question. I can think of many adjectives, but one is uniqueness. It was unique. You can hear the references, but it was unique, and it was fresh, and it was what people needed at that time. They needed that good feel factor.
And it still feels fresh today. That's
as fresh as a daisy.
Okay, so if people want to come and see this, it's down at the Stratford Circus. And what's the date?
It's Friday the 28th of November.
It's at 8 o'clock, and tickets start at £18, go up to £30. And if people want them, how can I get hold of them?
Yeah, just if they contact the box office, or if they just Google Stratford Circus. I haven't got the number there.
No, I've got a number here, which is our research department here at New Sound Radio 92FM. Never let us down, do they? It's 0844 357 2625. Going to be giving that number at the end as well. 0844 357 2625, and it's stratford-circus.com, or Google it or whatever, and you'll find it anyway, and you can buy your tickets online.
Absolutely,
as well.
Please do come and support it. It's a
I
great
know
show.
It sounds brilliant. It sounds brilliant. The tickets going, are they?
Oh, they're going extremely well. They are. I must say, actually, I mean, people really want to go. Don't leave it to the last minute.
Okay,
to be disappointed.
Kyle Brown, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92FM. I see you will stay there, won't you? Because
no,
what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at someone who's been digging up in and around Olympic Park. You'll stay for that, won't
right,
you?
I see. Right.
Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92FM.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day.